If you're wanting to be in a home team, next Sunday night, we'll actually have a thing that we call Group Link. And at Group Link, basically, you can come and talk with people and hear people that are starting home teams, talk about the home team, when it's going to meet, all that kind of stuff, and join a home team that night. And so you can do that based upon your schedule. And let me just really encourage you that when you're making a commitment to a home team, that you really commit to the home team. I think that we're in such a culture that we think everything is for us. So if we think, well, I've committed to something, but if I don't show up, it's really, you know, I'm the one paying the price. That's not really true. You are committing to the other people in that group that you are going to be there for them. And there are going to be times that they need you there. They really need you there. So make sure that you pick a time that you can commit to, day-wise or night-wise or whatever. And so just a heads up, that'll happen next Sunday night, Group Link. And then this Friday, this last thing, Friday, we are gathering anybody that is possibly feeling called to ministry. And let me clarify what I mean when I'm saying that. And that's probably not the best way to say that, and this is why I'm going to clarify it. We are all called to do the ministry of Jesus Christ, to the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. And so I want to clarify that by saying I am interested in people that are feeling led to possibly vocational ministry, basically being a pastor. So basically dudes that are, you know, feeling called to possibly being pastors in the future and that kind of thing. We're wanting to mentor those guys. We're wanting to come alongside those guys and help prepare those guys. This may be the beginnings of what will eventually be a pastor school that we hope to eventually have, where we're training guys in what it looks like and what it means to be a pastor. We'll be challenging you to read books and coming together and talking. But a lot of it is, honestly, I just want to get all these guys together, and I want them to meet each other and get to know each other so they can be praying for one another and they can go through this together. I was fortunate to get to have several guys when I felt called to ministry to get to kind of go through that with me at the same time in life. And I think that that's very beneficial, and I think that it can be here too. So that'll be actually doing that at my house Friday night, 6:30, very impersonal, you know, just laid back kind of a deal. We'll get together, hang, pray, get to know each other, probably eat something. But if you are interested in that, you have to email me. And that's it. There's no sign-ups anywhere. You just have to email me, and I will email you back and tell you what you are going to do. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I'm looking forward to that. That's Friday night. Make sure that you don't miss out on that. If you know anybody in that boat, make sure they don't miss out on that if you can help us do that. To be pastors, yes, it would just be men. But now you may be called to some type of ministry, vocational ministry, and you may be a lady, and that's possible too. You wouldn't be a pastor, but it is possible to be called to vocational ministry full-time. You just wouldn't be a pastor and be a lady. So if you're interested, email me. We'll chat it up, okay? Again, everybody's called to ministry. This is specifically, I'm kind of honing in on specifically guys that are wanting to be pastors and that kind of thing here. So just to be clear, thank you for asking that. It's a good question. If I had to do a thing for everybody that's called to ministry, you better all show up, or I'm going to come hunt you down, okay? If you love Jesus, then you're called to ministry. If you know Jesus, you're called to ministry. We're all called to ministry. So let me pray for us, and we're going to get into this morning. God, I thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and to worship you. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that what we just sang about, that our love, that it would be lifted high and for the glory of your name, God, I pray, Lord, that that would be true. In every aspect of our life, God, I pray that it would be true. Thank you for this moment right now when we get to share the gospel together, get to worship together, get to thank you for the cross together. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through the preaching and teaching of your word. In your name I pray, amen. This morning we are continuing, if you're just jumping in with us and visiting or whatever it may be, glad to have you, by the way. But if you're just jumping in on this, this is a continuation of the book of Philippians, which we've been going through together in this kind of idea trajectory. And basically what that comes from is Paul writes this letter known as the book of Philippians to a church in Philippi. That's why they are the Philippians. And this letter is basically, could be very easily built as a letter of trajectory, trying to help make sure that these folks don't sit too long in one place. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, we have these moments in life where we kind of get stale, don't we? We kind of just kind of, you know, things get comfortable. We like that. We like that. We like to, who doesn't like to be a little lazy every once in a while? And so we have that kind of stuff going on. But specifically to our spiritual walk, this is something that we've got to pay attention that we don't let happen. And Paul's writing this to a church of folks that they're on mission. We see this. We see Paul encouraging this church and saying, look, you guys have got it going on. I'm seeing you be faithful, and I'm telling you to continue to be faithful. And he's challenging them in different ways, and many of the ways are ways that they've already been faithful to God. And he's just trying to say, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. And so in this passage that we're reading today, we see Paul talking about two guys specifically. When I first started looking at this passage a couple weeks ago, I started thinking, gosh, man, what is going on with this? What is the point in Paul sharing the stories of these two guys? And we're going to talk about that today. And I think that is to glorify God, ultimately. And I think that we'll see that through these two men's, through their lives. I think we will see how they themselves have been giving glory to God. And I don't know if you paid attention or not, but this morning the band led us and played through several songs. And most of the songs this morning, in fact, I think all of the songs this morning, were about God's faithfulness to us, about how God is faithful. You know, and we just got through singing some of that, and specifically we just sang about how, you know, we pray that, you know, that our love would be lifted high. Now that is very, very much in line with what we're teaching about today because of what we see in the lives of these two guys, and even in Paul's life, that their love was lifted high for the glory of God, that basically their life was for Jesus. Now, you may be new to the church thing and just kind of going, well, my life's not about Jesus. I don't even go to church. Well, I'm going to tell you some stuff today. I'm going to share some stuff with you today out of God's Word. It's God's Word. I didn't make it up. It's not my thing. It's His thing. I'm glad it's His thing. But He's going to show us some things about who we are and who He wants us to be. I want to jump into this. And by the way, if you need a Bible, we've got some ushers. They'll bring you a Bible. Just throw your hand up. Just hang it up there. Leave it up there and they'll bring you a Bible. We're going to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 is where we're starting today. And in looking at the two men that we're looking at, one of them's name is Timothy, and the other one is Epaphroditus. And both of these guys are guys that are following Jesus. These are guys that love Jesus, and it comes out how they love Jesus and how Paul writes to them. Now, to give some context here, and this is going to sound like a broken record if you've been with us for weeks on end, but we need this. To give us some context here, Paul is writing this, and as he's writing this, he is imprisoned, and that matters because of kind of what he's talking about here in this letter. And so you need to know that as the background. He is imprisoned for teaching about Jesus. And so verse 19, we see this in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Right here, very first verse, verse 19. I love where Paul is going with this because it would be real easy in this passage of Scripture for us to lay our faith and our trust in these men. It would be easy for us to lay our trust and our faith in guys like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus because they're pillars of the faith. We're seeing them be obedient to God. And we even see Paul teach, you know, do like I do. Do like men that follow Jesus do. Do that. But going above and beyond that, Paul is not making some kind of great saints out of Timothy and Epaphroditus here. In the very first verse, he puts, I hope in the Lord Jesus too. And so what he's saying right there is that my hope and my faith is in Jesus Christ. He's not saying my hope and my faith is in Timothy, and that's why I'm sending him to you. My hope is in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. so that I too may be cheered by news of you. And we have this, I think this is a very important theme that we notice in this passage of Scripture this morning, because I think for us, we really struggle with that. Don't we? I mean, we want to put faith and trust in people, don't we? And that's what we do many times. Now, and some of you may say, well, Chris, I don't trust anybody because everybody's let me down. Well, I got to tell you, I am not like that. I am not like that at all. Anybody that knows me knows that, you know, you look at my assessments and all this kind of stuff, taking all the big tests, I basically come back looking like a cocker spaniel that wants to be everybody's friend. And I just want to hang out all the time. Let's just be friends and everything, you know, we'll figure it out. And, you know, that's my personality. It's just the way God made me, I guess. And so, you know, in understanding that, you know, one of the things that I hate, I can't stand is when I lose trust, when I lose faith in someone, when I lose respect for someone. I had someone email me something yesterday, and I was already going down this road with this person. It was a pastor and another. It was a pastor friend that emailed it to me. It was about a pastor in another state that's having a conference, and they invited somebody to come to the conference that, just to be real honest with you, is a false teacher. And they're known for being a false teacher. And this is somewhere where, you know, I've met the pastor at the church where the conference is held. I've known that pastor at least just a little bit. And, you know, I've had some faith, trust, whatever you want to call it, belief, some good things that I've really thought about them. But that one thing has just really hurt my respect for that pastor. I can't blame it on his church necessarily. His church didn't make that decision. He made that decision. That's one reason why we don't just randomly have a lot of people come speak here a lot. You know, I think for us to recognize that we can't be about putting our faith in people, we've got to put our faith in Jesus. And let me just tell you something. I don't care how much somebody loves you. I don't care how much somebody is good to you. I saw, you know, Twitter and Facebook all this past week about what people got for Valentine's Day. And, oh, and my husband, and he's so good. And I saw Sugarland tickets and roses and everything else. I mean, it was just all over the map of things that people had done for people, you know. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, and it's great, but let me just tell you something. As great as someone may be, that significant other, that leader in your church, that boss at work, whatever it may be, they are a sinner, and they are going to let you down. They're going to let you down. Yes, we can trust in people, but we have to recognize that they are not the ones that are going to save us. Our trust and our faith need to be in Jesus Christ, period. Paul goes on right here. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. This will make more sense, the whole Paul wanting to be cheered about what's going on with the Philippians. Again, he's imprisoned. He can't go there. You know, that's context, but he'll go into this further. Verse 20, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Paul's really, you know, really putting Timothy out there and saying, I got nobody like this guy. I'm basically sending in my best hired gun for the gospel. And he's going to come in, and I know, because I know his heart, is that he is going to genuinely care for your welfare. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. Sorry. I'm not going to get past that. I don't know. You may. So, you know, I think for us to just to get that, for us to understand how important it is for us in this moment to just pay attention that you know, Paul's faith in Timothy is real. He does have a real faith in Timothy, but his hope is in Jesus. And so for his hope in Timothy, he puts it as for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. And goes on in verse 20 to 21. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Now this is something that we see Paul talk about from time to time. We see Paul, and we'll see it again in chapter 4. We've seen it in chapter 1. We've seen it in other books of the Scripture, where we see Paul, and he sometimes is even calling dudes out and just like, hey, this guy over here, he said he was faithful. He's not faithful. And he's even calling out some false teachers at times. And what he's doing is he's just saying, you know, pretty much Timothy is the guy that I trust to send to you because I know that he's going to care for you. Because he cares what? Not about his own interests, but those of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you care about your own interests, or do you care about Jesus Christ? That's a hard question for us to answer. Because even on our best day, a lot of us are still really consumed with us and not what Jesus would want us to be consumed with. Verse 22, but you know, Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him to you as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I want to stop right there. I think this is really cool. You see a bit of Paul and Timothy's relationship. You know, both of these guys, basically just missionaries for Jesus, just missionaries of the gospel. They're starting churches. They're trying to proclaim the gospel to everywhere that they can. And so we've got this little thing here about, you know, how Paul kind of foresees him as like a son who works with a father. And you see that. It says, but I know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. You know, a long time ago, it was normal practice to have a father teach the son how to do a trade. You know, pass down the trade. So if dad was, a lawyer, let's just pick one, you know, here. And he may, you know, begin showing his son as time goes on that trade of what it means and what it looks like to be a lawyer. Of course, that's a pretty complicated thing even now. But, you know, you go even further with that. You know, this past week, I got the opportunity, really a blessing, to work alongside of a father and a son doing some manual labor together. And I here's why I was blessed by it. You know, normally, and this would have been like, I have to admit, this would probably not have been the picture if it were me and my dad working together to do this very same project. We'd have kind of been at each other quite a bit. But what I saw was this awesome picture of how a son coming under the authority of his father. I saw him just whatever dad said, he was on it. He'd do it. He might, you know, there might be a mistake, or, you know, may not have the drill on right, or, you know, something like that, or, you know, whatever it may be. And dad would come correct and help him and give him and let him go. And we have in our mind to think that that's like old school and that never happens anymore. I think that that's a great picture for us dads to really think about with our sons. Let me just say in general, and I know this is not the parenting talk this morning, but I'm going to give you a little freebie. We got to spend time with our kids. Dads and moms, it is not for the rest of this world to raise our children. If we leave the rest of this world to raise our children, we are going to be regretting it one day. And I mean that. I'm saying that with conviction in my heart. And guys that have been with me this week have even heard that conviction come out of my mouth about how I am so caught up and doing ministry and work and projects and blah, 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 that even I myself at times am finding myself not spending the time that I should with my children. And that is terrible. That my ministry is called to my family first. I can't be a good pastor to you until I am a good pastor to my home. And that goes for all of us. That's a freebie, sorry. And so we've got this picture of Paul and Timothy and how Paul views Timothy like this son. And just after even kind of getting to spend that time this week, you know, hanging out with that family and just kind of thinking, man, this is a great picture of someone coming under authority and going out and doing the will of the Father, hello, Jesus. You know, we've got that again right here. And it goes on, verse 23, we read part of this. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. In verse 24, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. And Paul has hope here that he himself is going to make it back to Philippi to minister to the Philippians. We're seeing Paul's heart. He's in prison. And you'd think he's like thinking about like prison stuff, you know? What I mean, and it's not prison like we think of prison, it's like a cave, and I mean, some crazy stuff going on, I'm sure. You know, but I mean, for us just to even think, you know, if I'm stuck in a cave, a hole, you know, somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you know, who knows how they're treated. And then in the midst of that, I'm writing a letter, and I'm just thinking about how I can't wait to get back and minister to the people at 24. How I can't wait to get back to Nashville and minister to the people of Nashville. That's hard to imagine. Because we think, if in that scenario, we would probably be pretty caught up in ourselves and what we need and what we don't have. Paul is not. So Paul gives us this look into Timothy's life. We're going to look at Epaphroditus. Verse 25 says, I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. Now, this is a good verse. It's got several things going on in it. You know, Paul, first off, Epaphroditus that Paul is wanting to send back to Philippi, Epaphroditus is from Philippi. You do a little background looking into this guy. Basically, this is the guy that the people, the Philippians, sent to Paul because they couldn't go themselves. They wanted to get to him. They wanted to send gifts. They wanted to encourage him, but they could not themselves make it to Paul, so they sent this guy. So this guy, you know, obviously they trust him. They already know him. He's one of their own. You know, many of us, you know, we can kind of understand that. We can kind of get that. You know, if we sent somebody out, we're about to be sending people out. You know, by the way, this is part of the makeup of this church is that we reach, we teach, and we send. We don't reach the lost, then disciple them to try to keep them inside here. The goal is that God is going to call some of those people to be sent out. For us to try to keep those people would be against what, you know, God's called us to do. So for just even seeing that, you know, the Philippians sent this guy to Paul. Paul, you know, could say, well, I'd like to keep this guy around here so that, you know, maybe he could at least bring me a decent meal every once in a while in this hole that they've got me in, or, you know, whatever it is. But instead, Paul is concerned with the Philippians and he is sending him back to them. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. Now, right there, we've got a little look into, you know, this guy's, you know, personality, his work ethic. He's a worker. Just think about that for just a minute. You know, we might be used to working, maybe manual labor or pushing papers or whatever it may be, making phone calls, and that stuff, that's great. It's great to have a work ethic to do that stuff. Where is our work ethic spiritually? This guy has a work ethic spiritually. The fellow worker and fellow soldier. Those are two huge words, worker and soldier, when it comes in the context of who God is calling us to be for his kingdom. And your messenger and minister to my need. And that there is showing us that this is a guy that the Philippians sent as a messenger from them to Paul, and he ministered to Paul in his time of need. Goes on next verse, says verse 26, for he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Now I think this is a pretty interesting verse, because this is a verse that's not, at first glance, you might read this a different way, but what this verse is saying is it's saying that Epaphroditus has himself been worried because they found out that he had been sick and knew that they were worried. So he's worried about them worrying about him. And you gotta take context here. It's not like, you know, as soon as you get sick, you just text all your friends, you post it on social media, like, hey, I'm all better now, cleaning house, back at it, doing good. No. Travel had to take place. They had to get word through someone that this person was well. And the thing that you got to know, and you'll read this more. In fact, we'll just keep reading here because we're going to read it more. Verse 27, indeed he was ill, near to death, but God has mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I think this is a great verse. We see this picture in Paul's heart right there about how much he loves this guy. And about really honestly how sad that he would have been to have lost him as a friend. Now, Paul's the first one to say that, you know, for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. But at the same time, you know, Paul is also saying that, you know, if I lost this guy, I'd be sad. Sorrow upon sorrow. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. And basically what happened, what we understand of the story, is that on the way to see Paul from Philippi, Epaphroditus got sick to the point of almost dying. He finally got better, and then he finally made it to Paul. Paul obviously was grateful that he came. He ministered to Paul. We see Paul talking about that, and we see how much Paul loves him. And now Paul is wanting to send him back, and he gives one of the reasons coming up right here. Verse 27, we'll read again. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. And Paul is saying right there, he is saying that for us to just get this little piece of this, I think it's really important. He's saying that the more eager to send him, therefore, what he's talking about is he's talking about that because he had been sick, because they had been worried, they know that Epaphroditus has been through many trials to try to take the gospel, to try to do the ministry of the gospel, to try to go and minister to Paul specifically. And in the midst of that, God has brought him through it. I don't know about you, but it does me good sometimes to hear those stories from people. Many of you have stories of how God has brought you through some kind of craziness in your life. And that story is a story that you should not keep a secret. That story is the type of story that God uses for his glory, for other people to see God worked in that person's life. Because in those stories, it's not about us. And we can make it about us if we're not real careful. We'll, you know, try to glamorize it or whatever it may be. But the truth is that those stories exist for the glory of God, for people to see God working in our lives. Epaphroditus had one of those stories. Paul wanted to send him back so that everyone in Philippi could be encouraged that he made it. That he made it. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes we need to hear, I made it. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice in seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. And Paul is saying, you know, so that I can know that you're not worried, I don't want to worry about you guys. I'm looking forward to you seeing him healthy, alive, and kicking for the sake of God's kingdom, for the gospel. Verse 29. So receive him, the Lord, with all the joy, with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And Paul's not being mean there. Paul's being grateful. He's thanking them. He's saying, he came and he ministered to me. I am grateful for him doing that. He nearly died in doing it, and I look forward to him coming back to you. Honor him. And rejoice in the Lord with great joy. Now here's the thing. The people at Philippi already knew both these guys. We see that in this passage of Scripture alone. We see that they already knew him. So why in the world is it important for Paul to write this down in a letter that is going to go back to them? What's the point? They already knew these guys' character. You know, they already knew that these guys are godly men who are seeking after the Lord and, you know, trying to follow him. So why would God have Paul write this down? Why would it be in the letter that would become the book of Philippians as a part of God's word? Why? And I think it's pretty simple. There's probably other reasons, but I think one big reason that we can take away today is that we can see a picture of faithfulness. We can see a picture of faithfulness. Remember the songs we were singing earlier? You're faithful, God. You are faithful. You rescued us, God. You're faithful. Jesus died on the cross. You are faithful. You see, it is because of God's love that we can love. It is because of God's faithfulness that we can be faithful. It's not our own doing. I think we really mess this up sometimes. And especially in this area of the world, I think for so many people that have grown up around the church, and as I heard someone say this week, you know, that went to Sunday school and you got a star by your name every time you did the right thing, you read that verse, you memorized that thing, you got all the animals in the ark on the felt board or whatever it was. You know, if you missed the felt board, I'm sorry. We're going to try to bring it back at 24 one of these days. But I think that we make this mistake in wanting to check off everything on the list. And it's not about a list, and it's not about checking off all the good things we can do. We can do good things to the day we die and never know Jesus. Jesus says so in Scripture that people are going to get there one day and they're going to say, "Father, oh, you remember me? I did these things in your name." And he's going to go, "I don't know you though." Doesn't matter how much you go to church. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's about your faithfulness in the cross. Is your faith in the cross? Is your faith in yourself? Is your faith in your friends, your boss, your leaders, your spouse? Jesus wants our faith in him. And the reason that Paul pins this is not because they don't need to be told, "Hey, when these guys show up in Philippi, make sure you take good care of them. You know, these are some good guys." They already know. These guys are probably like rock stars coming back into town at that time. They're like, "Man, look at these guys. Man, we love these guys," or at least within the church. Like, they've been on a missionary journey. They've been doing the work of God. They've seen Paul. What an exciting time. At the same time, what a scary time. And these guys have followed the Lord well. And we see this. We see Timothy in this passage of Scripture that he would be genuinely concerned for their welfare. That he's proven his worth of how a son is to a father, serving together in the gospel ministry. We see this faithfulness picture of what this looks like. And then even with Epaphroditus, you go down and what? He's my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. And your messenger and minister to my need. And he is longing for the people of Philippi because they've been concerned about him. Most of us just go, "Yeah, that's funny. They're afraid I'm sick and I'm dead. I can't wait to get back," and go, "Boo!" You know? And here's the bottom of it all. Their hearts are that they love God. They love God. And you see, where we mean well a lot of times, and we'll want to check some stuff off the list. Let's do some good things. We've got some good things going. There's a new program. Well, let's do that. That'd be good for us. God would be happy if we did that. You know, because that's how we think God's thinking, right? If we're thinking that way, you know, we want to make God happy. We don't want to disappoint him, and we don't want to run in his house because, you know, he's an old guy and he might have a heart attack. But the truth is that is not true. And the truth is that God is more interested in our relationship with him. And if we love him, what comes out of that, the product that is made out of that, is that we do the ministry. We don't do the ministry to check things off and make ourselves feel better and try to please God. We do the ministry because we love God. That's why it's love God, love people, live gospel. We can't love people to try to love God. We love God, and because we love God, we can't help but love people. I mean, we're exploding with it. If we're spending time with him, our hearts start looking like his heart. And his heart is he loves people. He sent his son to die for them, to redeem them of the sin that they deserve death for, me, myself being one of those people. I really believe that God wanted us to see this picture of faithfulness in men. And for ladies, you can take this too. It's not just meant for men. All of us can see this picture of faithfulness of how when we love God, everything else is relative to that. Epaphroditus risked his life for the ministry. Timothy gave his life to the ministry. I'm sure there was probably something else Timothy could have found to have done that he probably would have enjoyed with all of his time. But he didn't. He decided that it was worth everything to follow Jesus, take up his cross. And the question that we have for ourselves today is, are we willing to go there? Are we willing to follow Jesus at any cost? Are we willing that even in the midst of almost dying, that in the midst of suffering, that when people see us, that they would see Jesus? I mean, make up a scenario in your head. The worst thing that could happen to you on the worst day of your life, in the midst of that, can you still sing praise to Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for saving me. You are awesome. You are unbelievable. Because that's what these guys are doing. And that's a picture that we have of what it looks like to be faithful to God. And you go, man, that's just asking a lot, isn't it? Yeah. But I mean, do we really expect that we could possibly trump God's faithfulness? You remember what he did, right? You remember how faithful he's been to us, right? The blood covers all. Jesus on a cross was for all. All who would receive him as their Savior would have everlasting life, have a relationship with Christ, would find out what it means to really live and what it means to have freedom in Christ. That's the life that God has intended for his children. This morning, you may not be a child of God. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you can just come out and say, hey, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a clue. Or maybe you go, well, you know, I for a long time I thought I did. Now I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not real sure. I just want you to know that either way, you can know today that Jesus is your Savior. You can know that today. And we would love to talk with you about that. We'd love to counsel with you about that and pray with you about that. And at the end of the time when we're doing the Lord's Supper and all that, we'll have some people down here just ready to pray with folks, ready to receive folks to pray with them and talk to them about Jesus. You may be a believer and you've been a believer for a long time, and maybe you're like the Philippians. Maybe you're a strong believer. Maybe you've been doing good, and if Paul was writing you a letter, it would look like this letter, and it would be like this don't stop mentality. The truth is we all need to hear this. We all need to check our faithfulness and ask ourselves, do I love God? Because the truth is if we love God, it all changes. It all changes. I don't care what it is, if it's a part of your life, it changes if you love God. You look at everything different. Everything in your life is different. Let me tell you something. We are only able to love him because he loved us first. We are only able to be faithful to him because he's been faithful to us first. And his faithfulness went all the way to sacrificing his son to be murdered on a tree, the death that we deserve for the sin that we've committed. That's how much he loves us. That's how faithful he is. Do you love him? I don't care about your church attendance. Do you love him? I don't care about what happened in the past. Do you love him? God doesn't care what you've done. If you don't know him, he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants it so bad that he set it up that his son would die for it. I don't know how much more clear it could be. That is the gospel. And this morning, I want to encourage you to run for Jesus. Quit running for you. Quit running for the things, the interests that you have, but have the interests of Jesus Christ. Maybe God wants to use you in some mighty way. If he did want to use you in some mighty way, would you be ready for him to send you out? Are you ready for that? Remember the reach, teach, and send? I don't want to reach, teach, and keep. I want to see God preparing people to be sent out on mission for his kingdom, for his gospel. Maybe God wants to do that with you, and maybe he's kind of chilling, waiting for you to be obedient and get to a place in your life where he can do that with you. Don't miss out on his plan. Let's pray together. God, I thank you. Thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I don't care how many times I say it. God, I just don't feel like I'll ever say it enough. Thank you for Jesus and thank you for the cross. God, it is in that, in light of that, it changes everything and how much I love you. God, forgive me for not loving you as much as I should every day of my life. God, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to change me, continue to change my heart to look more and more like you. God, use us for your kingdom. Use us as a church. Use us as individuals. God, for those that are here this morning, God, that don't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that they, God, I pray, Lord, that they would know you today. God, don't let them be afraid any longer. God, let them just run for you. God, may we be faithful. God, you are faithful. And God, I pray that as we sing it, we mean it, and we thank you for it.